are calling Ben, calling Ben on the phone, I'm calling Ben, calling Ben on the phone, I'm calling Ben on the phone, we're calling Ben on the phone, I'm calling
Oh,
Ben, and he's
goody.
not picking. Hey, Ben Lawrence, how's it going?
Yo, I can't hear you. Hang on a sec. Maybe it's me.
Oh no, I
I
think
don't
it's
think it's
you,
me.
because I can hear me.
Hey, call me back.
You don't think it's you? Okay, I'm calling you back. Right, I'm calling Ben back. Here we go.
Aha. I've discovered
Oh
what's
wait.
wrong. Hang on a sec.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and I didn't
Boom.
call you back.
No, don't call me back. I can hear you now.
Okay, cool. Cool. So
Oof.
hey, how's it
That was
going?
fun. Paul Goody, how's it going?
Ben Lawrence, I'm doing well. For any listener who's wondering why the podcast is a little late, it's my fault. I went to the M.C. Escher exhibit at the International Chess Hall of Fame, I think it's called, or the World Chess Hall of Fame. World Chess, not the World Chess Hall of... Okay, starting over. The World Chess Hall of Fame, I believe it's called, in St. Louis, Missouri. It's awesome. It's a really cool place. They had all these M.C. Escher prints on display.
Yeah.
And at first, when somebody said that they were M.C. Escher prints, right?
Yeah.
I was like, oh man, well, why didn't they have the originals? Well, of course, something I learned about M.C. Escher that I should have known already, and for some reason I didn't, is that he did a lot of woodcuts and stuff like that. So an M.C. Escher print is a print off of the woodcut that he did.
Ah, see, I didn't know
So
that.
it's special. Yeah, it's like a first printing kind of thing,
Gotcha.
basically.
Well, also
And
the
they
re
did have... Oh, sorry, go
one
ahead.
of the reasons why we're late is not just because you forgot and went to see MC Escher, but I've been working full time these last couple of weeks, and so we're not able to do our normal recording time, which is actually during business hours over here in the
Yeah, that's true.
Pacific Daylight Time or Standard Time, whatever we are in now. So
Yeah, I
because of
always
me,
just
we have
say
to
Pacific time and...
it's different it's a different time every week when we record, and we're gonna have to do that again this week. We're gonna have to figure out a
Hey,
weekend
and
time.
I'm ready for it.
All
It should be
right.
fine. So I'm sick.
Oh, good.
I have a very naughty illness in
A
that I
naughty
have
illness.
all the symptoms of being sick, except I don't have a fever. And I
Okay.
was talking about this to Jennifer and Betty because Betty got to stay home. She was sick. She had what I had. And even though she didn't have a fever, we let her stay home because she seemed like she was doing poorly.
Right.
And I was talking to her about how my parents, if you had a fever, you could stay home. If you didn't have a fever, no matter how bad you said you felt, you had to go to school.
Gotcha.
And I suspected that she got sick from a kid who had that sort of parent, basically.
Right.
And this also allows me to talk about one of my pet peeves, which is that I stayed home from work today
Yeah.
because there's a person in my office who is immune compromised. She's on a lot of medications, older person. And I didn't want to bring my illness into the office.
Well, that's
But
just
there are
kind of
many
you.
people who do not afford the same courtesy to their office mates. And one of them was sick all last week and sits a couple of desks away from me. So I have to think. That's probably the other reason why I'm sick. Betty and this person both got me sick.
You're also privileged enough to have a job where you can leave if you are sick. You know,
Yes. Oh, and
there's
that's what I'm talking about.
many,
Yeah.
many people out there who do not have that luxury of being able to call in sick, even if they don't have a fever. you know, if they just, you know, if they're just symptomatic of something, but there's no quantifiable proof of it.
If you, like, for instance, I'm allowed to work from home, right? Yeah. So I'm working from home. There are other people who, if they're sick, they're salaried, so they still get paid.
Right.
I am also salaried, so I should put that in there.
Full disclosure.
But there are some people who are hourly employees where if they're sick, they can't come to work, right? Their offices are, you know, shut down. If you're, like, if, for instance, if you work in a hospital or whatever, you know, there are places where if you're sick, you're not allowed,
right?
You're supposed to go to work.
Which is funny because, you know, if you're sick, a hospital sounds like a good place to be. But as a patient, not as a health worker.
Yes, exactly. And then the other thing is that I bet you old folks home, probably the same thing. Probably not allowed to go in when you're sick.
Any place where you interact with a public, you know, where, you know, like you said, might be immune compromised. The schools come to mind as well.
Yeah. But lots of those, as you've stated, pretty much lots of those places, hourly wages, and if you don't work, you don't get paid. So now you're sick, and also you may not make your rent or whatever.
So you feel compelled to go to work when you're sick, because otherwise, you know, you have to make a choice. Do you buy insulin or do you buy groceries?
And you don't want to go to the hospital because that's going to cost you more money.
Right.
So it's a cycle.
Yay, America.
As we've stated before, America ripe for a plague. It's it's just inches away from plague. So I work from home. One of the things that happens when I work from home, especially if I'm doing something relatively mindless, is I can have the TV on in the background as sort of background noise.
Right.
So I watched two things, and I want to know if you've watched either of them.
Chances are I haven't, but lay it on me.
The Amazing Jonathan documentary?
I saw like the first like 2 minutes of that on YouTube.
Okay.
And then I noticed it was like an hour long, and it was like midnight. So I put it aside for later, but I have not seen the entire thing. No, but I am interested in watching it.
Okay, well, we'll have to wait.
Yeah.
And talk about it after you see it. And then the Dave Chappelle Netflix special.
I have not seen that.
The much reviled Dave Chappelle Netflix special.
What do you mean it's much reviled?
Mad at Dave Chappelle. Okay.
Is he edgy?
Let me tell you a concept of a thing that I do here that I didn't do as much in Seattle, but I did do in Seattle when I was on union jobs with certain union members. It's the go along to get along, Paul Goody's style of conflict resolution, wherein somebody says something kind of horrible, and you're like, huh, you say to them, huh, and then you don't say anything else, and you wait until your day is over, and then you go home and complain about it to other people. or if you have a good enough relationship with them, you say something to the effect of, certainly when you say that the only thing a woman could do on your job is to give you a lap dance, you don't mean woman X, who both of us know and work alongside. You don't mean that's what she could do. And then they normally say something like, oh yeah, well, she's fine. You know, that kind of thing. And it's like, yay, we've reached somewhat of a common ground. This one woman is an actual person. You see? We can be like that kind of thing. That is the go along to get along thing, where you don't necessarily take every single person you meet to task for every single thing they say that is insensitive, because then you'd have two full-time jobs.
Right.
You try to gently nudge them to a better way of thinking, but you don't fight people all day long.
I had that experience working at the auto shop where it was yes. a male predominant workforce. And I wasn't at a place where I could, or nor did I want to, like, challenge everybody on their yeah. sexist views. A of all, because I had to be around them every day, and I wanted it to be a nice workplace. Yeah. And B of all, it's just, it's exhausting.
Yeah, exactly. And so the getting that out there. So that's something that I do. And I would say that this is, in fact, sort of something that straight white men can do that other people aren't able to, which is close to the concept of passing, sort of the thing of like, well, since I am not a woman, I can opt out of that conversation.
Right.
It's not great. In fact, it's pretty cowardly, but it's a thing that can happen. All of that being said, I didn't know that in 2019 I would have to put those skills to the test to watch an entire Dave Chappelle stand-up special. But there were times when I was like, huh, Dave, interesting. Huh.
Does he have
a... Let's see what other jokes you have.
Unique takes on things?
Down the line. What's that?
Does he have unique oh, yeah. takes on things?
Well, here's what I would say. At one point in time, he mentions that Louis C.K. is a friend of his.
Yeah.
And if he hadn't mentioned it, you would know that he was at least really thinking about how Louis C.K.'s career thing went. He does some jokes about it as well. But he is... okay, so I found out he is younger than me by like 2 months.
Okay.
So I'm older than Dave Chappelle. And by for some reason, months. He just seemed older than me. Like, he seemed like an older guy. And I realized that...
Well, Hollywood ages you.
That he is kind of more conservative than I am, which is weird. Because I wouldn't think that would be a thing. But it is. And so he... And like I said, so here's the thing. If I met him... I wouldn't fight him on these things. He has a stronger personality, stronger views, things like that. But I would go, huh, to some of the, like, if yeah, I was thinking about it, if he and I were riding in a car together and he was talking to me about this, like, okay, a friend of mine at work, let's say they say something like, well, you know, affirmative action weakens the American workforce. Let's say they say that. And I say, huh, this guy who we both work at is really, really good at his job. Do you think that he is an affirmative action hire? Or do you think that he's just a good guy who got his job because he's a good guy? And he's like, well, I don't know. Yeah, he is really good. He's probably not an affirmative action hire. And I'm like, okay, then my question to you is, how do you know this other person you're talking about is an affirmative action hire? Because they're not good at their job? Well, sort of. I don't really know what their job entails. And so, it, you know what I mean? You kind of, you're letting them work it out for themselves. Socratically pushing them to the thing.
It's a form of inception where you try to lead them to figure things out as opposed to just outright telling people they're wrong, which people immediately, their defenses go up and they exactly. dig in to their position.
And especially if you find a thought leader that they kind of like, you can say, well, you know, it's interesting. You know, this guy, and you also have to be, you can't lie about it. You just have to, like, find out.
You just have to know. Things.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, Thomas Jefferson once said blah, 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 blah. And since they're a big fan of Thomas Jefferson, they're like, oh, yeah, I didn't think of it that way. You know, whatever. Find a person they'll listen
to.
So
we've gotten off the thread here. If you were in a car with Dave Chappelle.
Oh, and he would start talking about how, like, he does a riff on Michael Jackson, and how he doesn't think Michael Jackson did any of the things that Michael Jackson is accused of doing.
Okay.
If I were in the car and he started talking about that, I would go, oh, yeah, I really don't know anything about that case. Can't comment on it. Because I don't. And so I can't.
No.
And that kind of thing is something that before I moved back to the Midwest, I might not have done as much. But because I am now in a place where whenever you talk to someone, you never know what side of the thing they're on, right?
Well, sometimes you do. Sometimes put their politics on their sleeve.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But the big thing I mean about that, I guess, is that you, unless you know your stuff, you don't want to get into an argument with them because they might have, like, the equivalent of a history degree in crazy talking, and they know way more than I do. I don't want to get into it. Well, and why would I get into it if I don't know what I'm talking
about? You're not going to change somebody's ideology by arguing with them.
Yeah. But so the big thing is that since moving to the Midwest, I've adopted a lot more of the, yeah, I don't know about that. Like, just saying, I don't know. And then letting them tell me what they know and, you know, processing it and going, well, okay, I don't know that that's true, but at least I know that that's what this guy thinks. And then if somebody talks about something, this is where it all comes down to. If somebody says, yeah, well, you know, people in the Midwest think this, you know, and then they say something, I can go, well, I know at least one guy who thinks this, which is kind of what you're saying, but it's a little different. You know what I mean? Use your sort of enemy guy as a source for information that other people may not have, I guess. Like, for instance, do you know a lot about gun auctions, Ben?
Gun auctions.
Yeah.
I would say I know nothing about gun auctions, aside from the fact that it's an auction selling guns.
Well, I know. Oh, and we should say, I'm sorry, charity gun auctions.
Oh, so where the proceeds benefit charities.
Right. A church lets people bid on an AR-15, for example. Here's a fun fact about charity gun auctions. If you live in Missouri and the charity gun auction is in Illinois and you do not have a gun license from Illinois, it's harder for you to get that gun if you win it. Because Missouri gun licenses are worth next to nothing in Illinois because they're so easy to get. Whereas Illinois has stricter gun laws.
Mm.
So, all that means, of course, is that gun laws do exist. And they're stricter in Illinois than they are in Missouri. And yet, they're not great anyway, right? There are problems.
Sure.
Which is why people want federal gun laws. But the idea is basically, it's not a zero game. You know what I mean? It's not like you either have them or you don't. They exist. It's just that they vary by state, from state to state. Oh, we've talked about this before. Guns in Chicago. Big problem. Guns in Chicago. People bring it up all the time. They love to bring up how deadly Chicago is,
right?
With shootings and all that kind of thing.
It's a Chicago is a popular punching bag for the right.
Right, and they say guns are illegal in Chicago. And yet, where are all these guns coming from? Indiana. It's not a mystery. Indiana. That's where they come from. And Missouri, as well. So it's one of those things of they know the answer to the question, but they bring it up anyway because it refutes the regular narrative of, you know, that gun laws will stop.
Right.
And of course, then the question, well, what about guns everywhere being, you know, put down? And that's when we get into the really kind of icky parts. And when I say the icky parts, I mean, you reach the point where you can't agree, where people just won't agree on stuff.
No.
Because as Jennifer, fact checker, Jennifer Pratt, my wife, states all the time, if you say, we're not coming to get your guns, we just want the AR-15s, AR-15, most popular rifle in the United States. So, in a way, you are talking about their guns because that's the gun that they have. And I did a small poll, and it's true. Most of the people that I know, usually it's from work, who have rifles, that is the rifle of choice for most people.
Yeah.
Because they're...
Because they're cool.
Well, no, it's because they're cheap for what you get, is the best way I would put it. There is a great little thing though that I like to say, also because they're cool. And something that people don't talk about, and I wish they would. It destroys their argument a little bit, but I always want to bring it up. And they hate it when I talk to them about it. But guns are fun also.
Are they?
People shoot recreationally.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they don't talk about that. They talk about defense. They talk about... Because...
Right. Well,
because
there's no argument to be made for, you know, holding on to your gun because you think they're fun when you're, when it's a deadly weapon. Whereas that argument cannot be made for something else.
Right. Well, as an example, there are shotguns that are made specifically to shoot clay pigeons out of the air. And people talk about that, and they're like, well, this is a sporting shotgun. Those shotguns can also be used to kill people. Depends on what you put in it, I suppose, or how close they are. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you could shoot someone with a recreational gun. So that's so you can't use it for an argument of why they need to stick around. And just because you like them doesn't,
well, and you know, again,
doesn't work in that kind of,
regardless of how many mass shootings there have been and are going to be, this is not going to ever, I don't think, ever resolve itself in our lifetime.
Somebody made a really good point, which is that after Sandy Hook, what else can you do?
Children were murdered. You know, obviously, you don't care about that, so, you know, we're at an impasse.
Right. And I do, we love to, both sides. No, we don't. But the one thing, of course, is that there is an argument to be made that if guns were to go away, the next thing that would happen would be bombings. Because that's what you see a lot of times. In, like, for instance, IRA stuff, you know, that kind of thing. That if somebody wants to kill a bunch of people, something else will happen. The idea, though, is that if you take away at least one method, then that's probably better. You know...
But also
kind of middle of the road people are like, why don't we try it?
I mean,
why don't we try it is the question.
There are many methods to kill people, and you know, as far as guns are concerned, when you take away the guns, you mentioned bombs. Yeah, bombs have the same destructive capability, but bombs aren't being sold in Walmart.
Right, and that's the other thing is that, I mean, the hard part is, and I mentioned this earlier, I kind of learned it when I became a parent, that if somebody tells you that something is impossible, a lot of times it's not actually impossible, it's just that it will require a sacrifice that they're not willing to make.
Or hard work.
Yeah, well, that too. But like, you know, you get, and I don't mean to move it into politics, well, it's already in politics, sort of, but you get a Democratic nominee who says, oh, well, you know, healthcare would be a great thing, but as we all know, it's impossible.
Right.
9 times out of 10, they know someone in the health insurance industry who they're friendly with.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. It's impossible, not because you can't do it. Who's the really left socialist person on the Seattle City Council?
I couldn't tell you. Oh, Kashama Sawant?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right. One of the things that she said that I thought was great, because I love the concept of disruption of norms and how they work. Even though I really love routine and hate it when anybody messes with it, it's a very paradoxical thing.
You're a study in contrasts.
The thing she said was that if Boeing doesn't get the contract to make some plane, this was a while back when I was still living in Seattle, that they should shut down production and use their facilities to fix the Metro buses. Because the thing that I loved about it is you could do that. It's not impossible. It's just really, really weird.
Right.
And not something people are used to doing. Same sort of thing. I think about this sometimes. Donald Trump is kind of an isolationist guy in some ways.
Yeah, very much so.
So if the United States were to close all of its borders, right, and all of a sudden we're manufacturing all of our own stuff and we're making all of our own food and we're doing all of our own things, it would suck. But it would also maybe work, and that's weird to me.
Well,
like we could, and that's just an example. There are so many ways that the world could radically change in a short period of time. It's just that our minds don't accept it, and so we don't do it, which is maybe a good thing.
I don't know I don't know everything about manufacturing, but I'm assuming that there are certain raw materials used in manufacturing that we cannot get here in the States, and so, you know, bringing all manufacturing home to the United States still requires trade partners.
Well, yeah. I mean, and this is where I'm talking about. It gets, like, super weird. Well, we have all these surplus soybeans, right?
Yeah.
And you could technically turn soybeans into plastic and ink and stuff like that. So all of a sudden we get these really crappily built but strange products.
And yet they're expensive.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, they're expensive until we get new dollars, and all of a sudden everything is, you have to buy it with new dollars, and all your old dollars don't work anymore.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, all this stuff is possible, and it's weird. Anyway, that's why I still think Andrew Yang is really interesting as a presidential candidate. I brought him up before. He's still in the running, apparently, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, but the latest poll numbers I saw has had Warren and Sanders at 20% and Biden at 19%, which was an interesting switch.
It is really kind of interesting about everywhere that I hear, like main, and I hate to say this, you know, mainstream stuff, it's all that Biden is going to be the nominee.
Yeah.
That's the slant that they take on everything, even though there are people pulling ahead of him.
Right.
In
Well, he's the moderate, and conventional wisdom says moderates win.
Yeah, and that's what I'm talking about. Huge change, big change, weird change.
See change.
It could happen.
Elizabeth Warren had a rally here in Seattle yesterday, and there were, I think the last number I saw was 15,000 people.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, people talk about Warren and Sanders, and that if Warren becomes the nominee and people don't vote for her, it's another sexism thing. Here's the thing that I don't get. Who doesn't want to vote for Warren if she gets the nomination? I haven't heard this. I haven't heard it from any, like, left people. I've heard it from centrist people who say they don't say that they won't vote for her. They're just saying that people won't vote for her.
And that's the thing about the Jesus, here we go talking about the 2016 election again.
Yeah, sorry. After, no, don't do it.
After the 2016 election, when Clinton locked up the nomination, you saw a lot of people online saying, F this, I'm voting for Trump because I was in the Bernie camp. And Bernie was my guy. Wait, I'm not voting for Clinton. Okay. But now it comes out.
Let me ask you a question.
No. Wait, now it comes out that was just like, you know, like plants, you know, paid for by the opposition to say that, to foment dissent amongst the Democrats.
Wait, so I was saying that was happening when it was happening. Did somebody actually, like, prove it?
It's gotten more tread. It's gotten more publicity.
Because I was just saying it because I can smell that kind of stuff because I've been on online forums for a really long time. Did you see my little screed, my little post about how we're all dumb and we're going to be dumb again?
No, I don't. I can't spend a lot of time online these days.
Yeah, that's smart. That's good. You just mean time management wise, but still, it's smart and good.
I mean, I mean my computer monitors where I'm working right now face basically the entire floor.
Yeah. So the basic thing is this. This is the point I was making. In my feed on Twitter, there are people of all political stripes on the left, right? All sorts of Democrats. You got your moderates. You got your far left, and every single one of them has said, well, I hope the other Democrats that I don't like have learned their lesson from 2016 and are ready to do things the right way, which means that none of them have learned their lesson from 2016 because they're all still worried about the other people changing the way they do things, which, as we know, is not a great way to plan.
And I bet you anything, if Sanders somehow gets a nomination either as president or vice president, there's going to be, and I'm not going to say it's going to be actual Hillary supporters, but there's going to be a lot of posts out there filling your feed with people saying that they used to be Hillary supporters and they're not going to vote for they're not going to vote for Sanders because of his sexist base.
I have people that I am friends with online. I don't know them other than their online personas, who will not go that far. They will go so far as saying something like, now I'm supposed to vote for him when they wouldn't vote for her. And again, this goes back to my whole thing. What I feel may come out eventually, Ben, is that most people who were Democrat, who were registered Democrats, voted for Hillary Clinton. And that the real triumph that the social media kerfuffle did was when she lost the electoral votes but won the popular vote, everybody started eating themselves on the left rather than getting mad at the right.
Yeah.
I think that was the real triumph of that mess.
I think that basically eating itself happened before election night.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just...
But it primed them to be mad at each other rather than to be mad at the system that made it so that somebody who was so unpopular won the Electoral College.
But have you heard Trump has he's got a challenger for the Republican primary?
Yeah. Isn't it the guy who's got the same name as one of the members of the Upright Citizen Brigade?
I don't know all the members of the Upright Citizen Brigade, but he's also got the same name of the guy who used to host, like, America's Most Wanted. Mr. Joe Walsh.
Are you sure it's Joe Walsh and not Matt Walsh? I think it's Matt Walsh.
Well, Matt Walsh is the UCB guy. Joe Walsh is the guy who's a Republican challenger to Trump.
Are you sure?
I am absolutely positive. You can look this up right now if you want to.
I thought Matt Walsh was the Joe Walsh challenger.
And I'm right on this. I'm going to pull a Paul Goody and say I'm right.
Okay.
You can bank on it.
Joe Walsh also famously member of some sort of classic rock band. I believe the Eagles, I want to say.
I may be wrong about the America's Most Wanted guy, but yeah, Joe Walsh is the... Now, the funny thing is, I do not follow Joe Walsh on Twitter, but a lot of people I do retweet him because he's one of those guys who was very staunchly conservative. Very, like, you know, you would read tweets and you're like, who is this guy? You know, what's his problem?
Yeah.
But he's become so...
See, that's why...
He's become such an anti-Trump Republican that it's from the left. It's fun watching, you know, the Republicans eat themselves for once.
The reason I mention this is that a lot of people... Because if this guy is not named Matt Walsh, right? There is another hugely popular conservative guy named Matt Walsh.
Yeah, I hear he started the Upright Citizens Brigade.
No. Because there's a long-standing joke about people getting the two of them confused.
Ah, well, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I really think it's Matt Walsh. And Joe Walsh is a member of the Eagles.
A member of the Eagles?
I want to say he's in that era. In that era.
Nah, you're thinking of Don Henley.
No. I'm thinking of Glenn Frey, is it? I don't know. So anyway, yeah. I think Joe Walsh saying life's been good to me so far.
Yeah, I don't know. I do not know that. Yeah. Anyway, so there've been
this is a problem, Ben. We can't look it up.
We can't. One thing we don't have to look up is there've been a lot of Proud Boy activities in Seattle. You're aware of what the Proud Boys are, right?
Oh yeah.
For whatever
reason,
there was a I wasn't here for this, but yesterday they had a big rally in Cal Anderson Park. And by big, I mean there's like 20 of them. But from what I understand on Twitter, people that I know were upset that the Seattle Police Department provided protection for them. I guess maybe they actually submitted to the city something that allowed them to have this rally in the park.
Yeah.
The word of which escapes me. Well, I was on the bus this morning, and I'm sitting in the seat that's like right next to one of the back doors, and these two dudes get on, two white dudes, and I notice after a while that one of the guys, he's wearing a baseball cap backwards, and it says white boy on the baseball hat. in sort of like a uh-huh. heavy metal font. And so I'm looking at it going, I wonder, uh-huh. is that a name of a band? Or even if it is, I'm wondering if these two people were part of the Proud Boys. And I know that when they got on, one of them paid cash. I don't know about the other one. But you do, as a bus rider, you do know when somebody has to pay cash because it stops the entire line from moving.
Yeah.
And apparently these two dudes did not know how to bus because they were standing by the back door, but they didn't hit the stop chain. Uh-huh. And when the bus stopped at a certain stop to let some people on, the back door didn't open. And so one of them yelled to the driver to open the back door. So now,
let me ask you a question. Did Seattle change the way that some bus places changed where you enter in the front and leave in the back and you always do that? Seattle hasn't changed that, right?
Well, it depends on where you get on and where you get off. Downtown on 3rd Avenue, you can get on any of the doors. Because
it's the same that I'm used to.
You can tap in on the sidewalk, so you don't. So it's a measure to keep people moving, keep the buses moving.
Right, but for the people who don't know, I'm going to explain it. You tell me if I'm right about this. So on the Seattle buses, there is a cord, and you pull the cord, and that says, "Hey, driver, I want to get off." Yeah. There's a little
stop request
light that goes off, things like that.
It's not just for the driver; it's for the other passengers as well.
And so if you are going to be at a stop and the door's open to let people on, it doesn't matter that the doors are open to let people on. If you haven't let them know that you're getting off, they're not going to worry about opening the back door for you because they don't know that anybody's trying to get off.
But it's dependent on where the bus is in the city. If it's downtown, if it's downtown, typically the back doors will open if it's on a certain corridor.
Right. Are there still free ride zones?
No, there is no longer a free ride zone.
Maybe that went away when I was still there, I want to say, perhaps.
It's there hasn't been a free ride zone in a while.
Oh, is it sometimes pay when you get off instead of pay when you get on?
That was part of the free ride zone.
Okay, so you always pay when you get on?
You always pay either when you get on or before you get on. It's really handy. So if you have an Orca card, you can tap in on a kiosk on the sidewalk. And then you don't have
the Orca card.
You don't have to, tap in next to the driver. You can just walk on. Now, the way they keep people honest is fare enforcement officers will randomly board buses and check your Orca card to make sure that you've paid.
Like they did in the light rail.
Like they do in the light rail. And there was actually one day where I was checked twice, both on a bus and on the train. I just happened to be in the... in the area where the fare enforcement officers were checking. And fortunately, I'm an honest person, and I've always paid my fare.
I was actually dressed as Spider-Man one time, and I got fare enforcement twice. And the guy said, "Hey, are you the same Spider-Man?"
Oh,
and I was like, yeah.
Yeah, I'm the same one you saw earlier today.
So anyway, these guys... they didn't understand that they had to pull the belt. Was there any more to the story?
Point being is that for whatever reason, these Proud Boys feel empowered to walk around Seattle looking for fights. That's actually specifically what I hear. Is they're walking around with tape recorders, whatever. Hello, 1980s, with video cameras and cell phones. Trying to pick fights with lefties.
Uh-huh. Well, I would say that maybe they're trying to one-up the Westboro Baptist Church, which my wife, Jennifer Fact Checker, and we'll get to that correction thing. And oh my gosh, are we already...
We're at 45 minutes. I don't...
Oh, my goodness.
I looked for corrections,
We've just been talking.
And I don't see any.
Oh, can we check again really quick?
I'm looking at it now.
I could have sworn she was doing it, but maybe she didn't. Maybe she didn't.
Nope. I don't see it.
Okay, well then, you know what it's time for? It's time for a live correction.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Here we go, Ben. Live correction. First time in a long time. I'm walking outside to the garage where my wife lives. Well, where she spends a lot of her time. Oh, and Edward's going to come out, too. Oh, wait. Is she not? Oh, yeah, she is. Come on, Edward. Hey, Jennifer. So, I'm doing the podcast.
Oh, shit.
Okay, so we know that there are no corrections, but it's time for you to do a special live correction.
Okay.
Now, it's possible that you know the answer to this.
Okay.
Alrighty. Alright. Who is, and I'm not going to try to color her answer. Who is the Republican challenger to Donald Trump? She is looking it up. Can you feel the excitement, Ben?
It's palpable.
Joe Walsh?
Ha ha! Ha!
I said fa ha, we're fine. Okay. Okay, so let me, Jennifer, could you do one more live fact check?
Sure.
Can you look up Matt Walsh conservative? Because I think, Ben, I know what happened.
Doesn't matter, I was still right.
Matt Walsh is an American actor.
No. Look up Matt Walsh conservative, I said. You just looked up Matt Walsh.
Yeah, I just decided to.
Okay, could you read that paragraph right there?
Matt Walsh, not to be confused with the former The Daily Show correspondent Matt Walsh, is an anti-feminist blogger who runs the aptly named Matt Walsh blog.
Aha! So, see?
Most of his blogs involve him mischaracterizing and insulting things that he doesn't agree with or like. Okay.
So, Ben.
Congratulations. You knew the name of a conservative blogger.
Yes, exactly. Yay. So, you see what happened.
I saw what happened, but it doesn't change the fact that I was still right about the name.
He's a great apologist. Yay.
I'm just playing out my best Paul Goody here. You see what I'm doing.
Anti-abortion. Yay.
Yeah.
He's transphobic. Yay.
So I thought that Matt Walsh was the one who was running. Ben said, no, it's Joe Walsh. And I said, well, I think it's Matt Walsh. And Ben's like, I don't care what you think. I'm right. And he's like, I'm doing my best Paul Goody impression. And Ben was right. Hey, everyone, listen. Ben was right. I was wrong. I am the one who is incorrect. Ben is the one who is right.
Ha ha, suck it.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yes, I don't know. I'm enjoying this for some reason, Ben. I'm enjoying being wrong. So it looks like it is now. Speaking of being wrong, hey Betty!
Oh, jeez. Boy, this segment gets earlier and earlier every week.
Well, are you sure? Oh, are you doing stuff, Betty?
I'm playing a game. Hello, Father and people.
Yeah, what game are you playing here, Betty? I already know. Yeah, and what are you watching?
Bad movies.
Betty is watching bad movies.
Oh, people talking about and reviewing bad movies.
Yes.
Animated.
Oh.
Hello, Lady Dog, Lady Dog, Edward.
Jennifer has picked Edward up. And Edward, Ben, I hate to say it, He's getting a little bit more pudgy because I am feeding him little snacks.
Apparently, today is International Dog Day.
Oh, wait. Betty, did you know that today is International Dog Day?
Oh, yay.
Hey, for a second, can you stop playing for just a second? I'm going to pick Edward up, and you are going to interview Edward for International Dog Day. All right, Edward, come here. It's time for Goody Lawrence Inception. Yelling for Betty, yelling for Edward. Okay, Betty, ask Edward some questions. Here, you hold the microphone. I'm just going to hold the dog.
Hey, Ed, what's your input on gun control?
He's looking around nervously. I think you've got a hot button issue.
A bold answer.
What do you think about the situation in the Middle East?
What's that? Edward says he supports the 57 state solution. I don't know what that is. What is that, Edward? Oh, now he's quiet again. Okay. Well,
here,
Edward
take the microphone.
Is an international dog. And that was our interview with him for International Dog Day.
All right.
Okay, Ben. So this has gone really, really well.
Hey, so I want to tell you something. Blair and I were hanging out with some of her friends on Friday, and the dude had an Oculus Quest.
Oh, yeah.
And I played Super Hot, and that was such a fun, amongst other games, but Super Hot was probably my favorite.
And let me ask you a question about the Oculus Quest.
Yeah.
Is it a wireless, or is it...
Wireless.
A wire.
Totally wireless.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So apparently this thing, this Oculus Quest thing is only like, I don't know, $300, $400. I'm afraid to get one because I would just spend all day in it.
Yeah,
I wouldn't get anything else done.
Well, the one thing that you've got going for you is battery life. It'll run out eventually.
Yeah, and in fact, when we first started using it, it had to be plugged in because it was dead.
Yeah, so let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
In Superhot, like for me, whenever you get out of the wired area, it stops playing, if that makes sense. Like it'll say out of play area. And you won't be able to see, because it's got a camera, and the camera has to see your helmet.
Oh, yeah, I don't
know. Did you ever get an out-of-play area
message? See, I was in a house that you know, it was somebody else's, and so I very rarely moved.
Okay. But, yeah, Superhot is awesome. It's like, probably my favorite virtual reality game.
Yeah. Yeah, now that I've had, you know, an immersive experience more than like 2 minutes of trying it on and actually playing with the game mechanics, I really want one. But like I said, I wouldn't get anything else done.
And it didn't make you sick, right?
No, it didn't make me sick.
Yeah, there's a new one that that I forget what it's called. It might be the Insight. I think I use that term. It's a lighter free roaming VR headset. And so Oculus is doing a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Being tethered to a wire is a problem because sometimes if you move just right, it'll come unplugged.
Right.
It's very rare, but when it happens, it's kind of annoying.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be the future, Ben. It's going to be the future.
The thing about...
They're going to get smaller and smaller until you can put them in your pocket.
Well, it's also one of those things where I'm sure in 20 years, maybe even less, people will look at us wearing the VR goggles and it'll just be ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the giant cell phone
right.
on the X-Files.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking about which, telephone.
Are you talking about our video telephone?
Yeah, our video telephone. I was showing it to a friend of mine.
Yeah.
And one of the things I noticed is that we just missed, it's 11 years old.
Oh, God.
I think. We just missed iPhones. There's no iPhone in telephone. I thought that was
kind of
interesting.
I think it came out well before the iPhone. I don't think we just missed it.
Okay.
iPhone came out in 2000. Well, wait a minute. What did Steve Jobs introduce in 2001? Was it the iPhone?
I want to say that the iPhone, that the first time.
Or was the iPod? I think it was the iPod.
Yeah, it would have been the iPod. Yeah. Yeah. I think the iPhone was probably in like 2004, 2005. The reason I say that is because the first person I knew to get an iPhone was Barry Kaplan. He was an early adopter. And that was when I was working. I was no longer working at the large internet retailer.
Gosh, I wonder who that is.
And I think I left that at 2005. Well, is there another?
Well,
maybe.
Actually, no, here's the thing. I think it was much later than that, because the first time I ever saw an iPhone was one of our earlier adopter friends, Chris Haddad, and he had it when Annex was in our current building, and we didn't move here to 2007.
Ah.
So I think it was either 2007 or 2008.
Okay. Well, that would make sense. If telephone was 11 years ago, that would still fit the time frame.
Oh.
Just barely.
Wacky.
Oh, and I showed him Ransom also, and he thought that was funny. Or the Ransom.
Oh, Ransom. You know, we really...
Oh, and that's...
We really missed...
And that's the other thing, is he is a professional commercial director. And so, whenever he, you know, writes back to me about it, he's like, "That's funny, good concept."
Ah,
and I'm like, "Yes, good." And it's also like whenever we talk about, when I'm like, "Well, hey, why don't?" Because we do writing projects together.
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Why don't we write a short and then, you know, produce that, and then from there go on something more." And he'll say, yeah, right. And I'll say, how much would a short like this cost? You know, because he does animation stuff. And he's like, well, 52 if you call
grand.
It favors and stuff, $200,000. And well, that's the thing, is it's funny to me until I'm like, wait, no, I'm thinking about this wrong. You're legit.
Yeah.
And I'm an amateur.
Going back
yes.
to...
We need to get better speakers for this computer.
Betty and I are talking about how we need to eventually get a better gaming computer. The computer that we have could hardly be called a gaming computer, I think.
Yeah.
I'm just saying we need to get better speakers, because when the headphone jack does plug all the way in, I can only hear from one side.
Oh. Try plugging it in halfway. You know why? Because it doesn't have... You see, that has a thing for a mic. And Ben, maybe you know about this. If you plug a three-pronger, right, that has the mic section and then the two headphone sections, if you plug it all the way in and you can only hear out of one side, is it because maybe you've plugged it in too far, and if you plug it out one...
That can help.
You would then be
it's
using
not,
the stereo?
I mean, the microphone band on the port is not, won't get in the way of an old, you know, two band audio of a stereo plug. But sometimes they just don't fit.
Ah, gotcha. Okay. So yeah, he said it might help. Oh, yeah. I feel like, Betty,
I can't win.
We might need to get you an Oculus Quest. I think that's probably the secret.
No.
What's that?
It's like a PSVR, except it's standalone. She's now ignoring me because she knows that I was using it as a suggestion to get it myself. Sorry.
Anyway, I was saying,
here's
well, going back to Ransom, I was saying that we really missed an opportunity there where we filmed Tom as an older Paris, but it took us so long to finish that. We could have filmed Paris as an older Paris, and it would have worked.
Oh, I didn't even think. But well, one of the things is, I mean, now that we've done it already, part of it was I wanted to dress Tom up. I mean, that's
well,
really.
Well, I'm not saying
really,
I don't enjoy what we did, but we could have totally boyhooded that.
Yes. Now, here's another question that I didn't think about until I showed this. What was the genesis of the Raoul Allen thing? Did we say we need a name for this rich guy, or did we start with somebody mistaking Paul Allen for Raoul Allen and then write the rest of it?
I think that name was chosen because it's easy to turn a P into an R.
Ah, okay. So we came up with the concept first. And
I think
then
we came,
the name
yeah, we came
second.
Up with the concept first, and the name just okay. fit.
I like it. And speaking of I like it, I think that's it, Ben.
That is it for this week. Good to talk to you.
Hey, nice to talk to you. And Ben, between now and the next time I talk to you, would you do me a huge favor
What's
and
that?
Keep it wrong?
Oh, I will. And Paul, please, for the love of God, keep it wrong.
All right.
All right, talk
Say
to you
goodnight,
later.
Good night, Betty.
Good night, Betty.
Talk to you later. Yep. Thanks, Ben. That's what I was hoping for.
All right.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye. Betty's waving. She's waving.